Many people thought the Share Your Embarrassment tour was over, but it was just dormant. We are really excited to announce that right now, tickets are on sale for the streaming Cyboctacular. We filmed our Hollywood show last year, and it's going to be streaming starting May 16th and available for a couple of weeks after that to anyone that holds a ticket. And if you have a Max Fun membership, you can get your ticket at a discount. Just check your inbox for an email for Max Fun with that code. If you aren't and would like to see the show, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets today. These shows are really fun. We put a lot of work into high-quality production values. And if you get a VIP ticket, we can even meet face-to-face over the internet. Get your tickets today at greatestgentour.com, and we'll see you on May 16th.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica. I'm not really embarrassed anymore, Ben. What I am is interested in getting a writing job on the new Star Trek series. So that's really what the show is about now.
Interesting. So you've transitioned to seeing this as like a professional development play.
Right, I'm manipulating the show into something that's like, what can it do for me professionally, besides be an embarrassment?
There is a new series of Star Trek coming out, and I think they want it to be an anthology thing. So presumably we could both get jobs on like the third season scatological series.
the butt stuff season.
Yeah, yeah. Star Trek After Dark.
It'd be great if it worked out that way.
The Red Shirt Diaries.
Look, they're going to want this to be good right out of the gates. But then subsequent seasons, who knows? Maybe they want to... maybe they can't get a Rob Bowman, for example. Maybe they want to throw the series at us for a while.
Yeah, give it to a couple of...
I think a lot of people would be excited about that.
Yeah, a couple of young upstarts that, you know, most of our bona fides are in making corporate video, but... I feel like I've dissected the best episodes and the worst episodes of Star Trek to an extent that
sure.
I'd feel pretty confident that if they put my hand on the tiller, I would know what to do.
Look, I'd put my hands wherever they want them if it meant getting into that writer's room.
It is the guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Have you not find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth? You don't deserve to wear that uniform.
So this is episode 8 of season 2, A Matter of Honor.
Yeah, it's your basic Klingon exchange program storyline, right?
It sure is. So the Enterprise is arriving at a starbase to pick up some people who are newly stationed on the ship and also some members of this exchange program. And it's... I got a little confused about this, to be honest, Adam. Riker takes Wesley down to the transporter bay, and Mordok, the chaotic bro from the episode Coming of Age, beams on, and Wesley's like, "What's up, Mordok? What up?" And Mordok is like, "I'm not Mordok. I'm Mendon," or something like that.
Yeah, Wesley is like halfway through a four-step handshake.
Yeah.
He's just totally confusing Mendon right now.
Yeah. Like, Mendon's like, "I'm gonna be down for that, but like, we don't know each other. Like, not all Benzites look alike, okay?"
Yeah, everyone who uses a vape pen looks like an idiot, but they aren't the same person. I saw a guy today walking down the street just casually vaping.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even like using my phone in public. I don't know how anyone's okay with doing that. Anyway, back to the story.
No, before we get back to the story, I've noticed something in the last few days. I've been taking the ferry to get to work lately.
Sure.
And
is that the big orange Staten Island ferry?
No, unfortunately, it's the East River ferry. But I thought I spotted this the other day, and I confirmed it today that the pilot of the ferry, when the ferry pulls in at East 34th Street, and you know, it stays there for 5 minutes to let people get off and people get on, the pilot of the ferry typically steps out of the control room, the bridge, if you will, and has a little vape on on the second deck.
Captain Josh. That's so dumb. Oh man.
Why is his name Josh?
I'm a ferry Captain Jeremy.
They called me J-Dog in college.
The raspberry vape juice really keeps me concentrated on the horizon.
It's concentrated flavor, and I am concentrating on the horizon. All right. So anyways, here's what confused me about this this exchange program. Because Mendon is from a Benzite ship, but he's wearing a Starfleet uniform, right?
Yeah.
So he's got all these, like, unusual ideas about how we're going to do running the ship. And he's, like, really, he's, you know, he's a go-getter. He's
a tryhard.
Yeah. He's like one of those kids that, like, really, you really resent when they have, like, a presentation in social studies class in the 11th grade, because he's coming in with, like, a tri-folding poster board, handouts, everything is color printed, looks super on point. And you're like, this kid's fucking parents helped him, man.
That doesn't sound autobiographical at all.
But he's wearing a Starfleet uniform. And so it's like, is he in Starfleet and just from a different ship that's all Benzites? Or is he like from a Benzite ship and he's trying out a Starfleet ship and they gave him a uniform? Because as we'll find out, Riker goes on a Klingon ship in this episode. They don't give him a Klingon uniform.
Oh, that would have been great.
Wouldn't that have been good?
The way I understood it was that this was a Federation-to-Federation exchange of personnel at this moment in time in the episode.
Yeah.
And that Mendon was a Federation person, as was the rest of the people who came on board at that moment.
Yeah, but I don't know what the benzene homeworld's status is in the Federation, I guess. That's really the question we need to answer.
The bro homeworld. Planet Affliction. 69 moons.
Yeah.
Nice.
Our uniform are sleeve tats and dolphin shorts. So after Mendon straightens out Wesley, he comes aboard.
He kind of gives him the, we don't all look alike, do we? Like the sort of like yeah, quasi-racist talking to that Wesley gets from Mendon at that moment.
Yeah, but Mendon scolds him, but he's a chill dude. He's not going to hold it against him.
Oh, he's super chill.
So then Riker goes down and meets up with Picard in the Dustbuster clubhouse. They do a little target practice and
Dustbuster shooting range, yeah.
Yeah. And Picard is like leading Riker down a path of volunteering to go do a similar exchange program on a Klingon ship. And it's one of the first scenes where we see like the real fondness that has developed between Riker and Picard. You know, their relationship started with Picard really like pulling rank on Riker in episode one of the series, and I think they're like buddies now. You know,
they've gone from like big dogging each other to two dogs that used to fight that now just sort of sleep curled up against each other. They're friendly dogs at this point.
I mean, I'm not saying that Picard doesn't hump Riker dog every so often, but
sure, you gotta show him who's boss, who's captain.
Yeah,
this whole idea comes off as pretty impulsive to me. Like they're shooting the dots in the phaser range. Picard's like, yeah. So this exchange program seems like something that we could export to different areas and different races. Like,
Right.
What would you think about maybe doing an exchange program on a Klingon ship? And Riker's like, yeah, that sounds cool. Picard's like, no. What would you think about doing a Klingon exchange? And Riker's like, yeah, that sounds pretty dope.
And then Picard's like, no. What would you?
Riker's like, I get it. Yeah, I'm in.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Funny juxtaposition, this scene with talk of going and working on a Klingon ship, because you just cannot imagine the Klingons having any similar like disruptor range on their ship, you know, with the bright primary color dots that you have to bullseye with your dustbuster, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they use like live targets in a Klingon shooting range.
Yeah, they like they let a wild targ go and see who can hit it first.
Very conveniently, there is a Klingon ship nearby with which to do the exchange program.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they come up with an idea and they're able to implement it almost immediately. And this is the Pog. Pog? Pach.
Pach. It's you spell it the same way as Gach, but with a P.
This is going to be a super phlegmy episode, isn't it? So Riker does a couple of things to prepare for the exchange program. First and foremost, he conducts a sort of Andrew Zimmern tour of Klingon food.
Yeah.
By going to 10 Forward and like getting down on a buffet of just like worms.
Yeah, he orders the menu.
Yeah, he does.
Hippias claw. This is heart of Targ. This, of course, is Gaga.
Gaga?
Everybody from the ship has to come by and make a comment at how gross it all is. And, you know, they had fun art directing this. You know, lots of squid tentacles and
lots of colors and textures and sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I definitely spotted immediately that his gach wasn't moving. So it was fun for me later on when they try to feed it to him on the Klingon ship. And he's like, oh, it's wriggling.
He does that thing, though, in eating all of this Klingon food. I don't know if it's just a thing that he does when he eats something gross, but he does that lift it up above his head and drop it into his mouth move.
Oh, yeah.
To eat food. That's just, like, quintessentially Riker.
Yeah, he unveiled that particular bit of flair in the conspiracy episode with the worms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's like a secondary Riker maneuver in a way.
Yeah, he likes to get real sloppy when he's eating.
So the other thing he does to prepare is has a little rap sesh with Worf in the hallway, and you know, Worf kind of gives him the lowdown about how shit works on a Klingon ship. If the captain is deemed by the first officer to be incompetent to execute his duties, it is incumbent on the first officer to kill the captain and take over. And Worf really like has a lot of respect for this system. He's like, yeah, it's worked for hundreds of years. I don't see any particular flaws in it. And so, you know, Riker's he's like an actor preparing for a role, you know, interested in the motivations and how to kind of fit in.
Worf is like doing that thing, like Riker's going to a different country, so he's asking the guy from the country like what he needs to be doing there to fit in. Like,
right.
Like that seems pretty sensible, right?
Fair enough.
The other thing that Worf does, though, is he Star Trek sixes him. He gives him the secret signal sender that he can hide in his boot, right?
Yeah, he gives him like a AA battery that has the label taken off, and it's like a transponder.
We will be able to follow the captain's movements.
How did you achieve this, sir?
Time is precious, Lieutenant.
You know, it's like whenever James Bond is getting gadgets at the beginning of the film, you're just like trying to picture the scenario in which he's going to use the laser beam on the watch to get out of a scrape, and you know, this is a similar situation. It's a Pavel Chekhov shotgun on the wall type of deal.
Right, exactly.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
With all of this information and this little James Bond utensil on his person, he goes to the transporter room and gets ready to go. And O'Brien basically, like, I don't even know how to describe what O'Brien does to him in the transporter room, but he, like, hops up to the transporter all happy and ready to go. And O'Brien's basically like, enjoy your suicide mission, idiot.
Good luck, Commander.
Thanks, O'Brien.
I wouldn't want to go.
And Riker basically, all he has time to say is, what? And then O'Brien, like, beams him away before he can finish his thought, which is great.
So good.
O'Brien must really enjoy that, like saying something fucked up and then beaming the person away before they have a chance to respond.
Right, yeah. Never done this before. What?
Huh, I actually have no idea where I'm beaming you. Bloop.
It's like I've seen like YouTube videos of guys that operate carnival rides where they like drop a bunch of bolts and nuts on the floor and go like, oh no, right before they throw the switch and like shoot people off into the wild blue yonder.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what O'Brien does here.
It's the only way to stay entertained in that transporter bay.
So Riker appears in basically the toughest leather bar in the galaxy. And like, in addition to just how it looks, like it looks like a leather bar. It's super dark. There's like red.
Smoky.
Yeah, it's smoky. It also sounds like the constant sound of chains being dropped on a steel floor is how it sounds at all times. Mm-hmm. Like it's just loud and clanky.
Yeah, their engine is not as finely tuned as the Enterprise's.
It's really like the Volkswagen Beetle of starships. Clearly diesel powered. You know, like in submarine movies, you get like often you get like the contrast between the nuclear submarine and the diesel submarine. Like
sure.
that's the contrast we get when Riker goes from the Enterprise to the Pach.
Yeah, pretty early in his appearance on the Klingon ship, the second officer Clagg is really starting to kind of test Riker's boundaries and test his commitment to the challenge he has taken up, and it winds up being that Riker has to like sucker punch him and knock him to the floor in order to like get him to shut the fuck up and leave him alone.
He does that thing where he like accepts an insult, like averts his eyes for a moment, and then like beats his ass.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like, I'm a little surprised that that isn't such an obvious telegraph of what's about to happen, right?
Yeah, you would think a Klingon probably would never like faint away from a fight.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a total new one on Clagg. Like he's never seen this particular stunt pulled in any bar fight.
Yeah, Riker basically acts like he gets the vapors and then like stiffens up and kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, and
he really
a fun
like
little
Rick
fight
flares
scene.
Him.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Frakes is starting to demonstrate himself to be like he can really sell a fight.
Yeah, a couple times this season they've given him like compound fight scenes with like multiple moves. Like the guy can do it.
Just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence.
So before the Klingons head off to do whatever the Klingons are going to do, our buddy Chaotic Bro 2 Chaotic 2 Bro, does some scanning. And
Electric Brogaloo?
Does some scanning and discovers some poopy on the back of the Klingon ship. There's like a little shit stain.
It's a bacterial
hull.
Wet spot.
Yeah, and
this doesn't seem too out of place when he describes it. Like initially,
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that ship's a total shit pile.
Like, yeah, I mean, this is like the same type of Klingon ship that the crew of the Enterprise A, Jack in Search for Spock and rename the Bounty.
Right.
And fly to San Francisco 1987 or whatever.
Yeah, you know, any ship spends too much time in San Francisco, they're going to come back with something.
Yeah, some rust on the hull.
Yeah.
As it were. but it's a rusty looking ship to begin with, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what the service life of one of these Klingon ships is, but this has got to be near the end of this. This one.
And they have not been strapping it up before they do their penetrating.
It's really the perfect ship for Riker in that way.
My immune system may not even be equal to this challenge, but I'm going to give it a try.
So the B storyline involves Kargon doing the scan, and he finds the wet spot.
You mean Mendon?
I do mean Mendon. What did I say?
Kargon.
God damn it. This is going to be that kind of episode, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of crazy alien names in this ep.
Yeah, so Mendon does the scan and then doesn't say anything about it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like Mendon's whole thing on the ship is that he's going around and looking at people's instrument panels and going oh, really nice layout you got there. That's really efficient. You know, I could give you a couple pointers about how to make it even better though. And at one point he grabs Picard's the sleeve of Picard's uniform as he's walking by, and he goes, "Oh, by the way, I'm on the exchange program, and I have some ideas on how to get your ship in a little bit more of an efficient working order." And
yeah, he's kind of like Remick without rank. He's as annoying to everyone as Remick was.
Right, and without the weight of a roundhousing admiral behind him, because when he grabs Picard for this, nobody has ever been big docked as bad.
You have an excellent record, Ensign. However, here on the Enterprise, we use the chain of command. You will report your observations to Lieutenant Worf.
I beg your pardon, Captain. I just wanted to impress upon you.
No need to apologize, Ensign. We should have explained it better to you at your indoctrination.
Yeah, he big dogs the shit out of Mendon, and then Worf immediately after big dogs him. It's like a tag team big dog.
Yeah, he's like Worf, you take over on the big dogging and see that I don't have to big dog this little whelp anymore. So as the Enterprise flies away, at some point they kind of realize that they too have a little smear of the poopy on their ship, and they're like, yeah, what is this? And Mendon's like, oh, by the way, they have the same stuff on that Klingon ship. And they're like, why didn't you tell anybody while the Klingons were still here? And he's got like a cultural difference here. He's like, I hadn't finished my analysis. I didn't know exactly what it was. So I didn't bring it up because that's just not how you do it.
Yeah, Mendon basically does the, you've been tested, right? After doing it.
Right. Yeah.
He's got everything backwards.
He's not somebody that you want the condom to break with. Put it that way.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so...
So they're like, whoa, well, if we've got it and that Klingon ship's got it, the Klingon ship is actually determined to be in some trouble.
Because
there's sort of a countdown. It's a race against the clock because it's going to ruin their ship.
Right. It's a bacteria that eats hull plating, and the compounds that the bacteria consumes are in a higher quantity in the Klingon hull than in the Enterprise's hull. So the Klingons are more fucked than the Enterprise even, and are not even aware of the problem.
Yeah, it really loves eating garbage can lids, and that's basically what that Klingon ship is made out of.
Yeah, maybe they picked it up when they landed on those garbage cans in Voyage Home.
Had to be.
San Francisco. I was born there.
The Klingons must have gotten that ship back after Kirk and the gang return with the whales, right? Possible that the Pach is the HMS Bounty rechristened.
Yeah, I'd really be interested in doing the Carfax on that Klingon ship and seeing where it ended up.
Yeah. Kicking the
it
tires.
It ended up at an auction in Cincinnati. It was bought by some dealer in the bad part of town. Just sat
now, this
on the
has
lot
had a few
a
fender benders, but you know, low mileage. I mean, it's been through time a few times, but
it's clearly been around. That's for sure.
So the Klingon crew, meanwhile, has also discovered this organism, and they're also, you know, like there's a lot of like fish out of water stuff going on with Riker. There's a fun moment in the Klingon mess hall when two of the Klingon females propose a three-way with Riker, and everybody watching is just going like they have no idea what they're in for. Like they think that this is a hilarious gambit, and they are fucked if they try this at all.
Talk about propositioning the all-time worst person for a threesome. Like,
yeah, it's like picking a fight with somebody at a bar, and he stands up and he's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, that's Riker is 10 feet tall sexually. And he also like does a good job impressing people in the Klingon cafeteria. Like he's eating all of their food, like in a real like he's demonstrating that he's down. He's down with anything. Like he's eating the live gach.
Yeah, and to the extent that like the second officer and the science officer or whatever, you know, like start talking to him like about some real personal shit. You know, one of them says like, "Oh, my dad didn't die in battle, which is a big shame for my family, and I don't talk to him anymore." And, you know, things used to be a lot better between me and the old man, and Riker's got some thoughts about that. And
sure.
like, you know, like, what are you talking about, man? And he's like, well, maybe that's what this whole exchange program can be for, is like some cultural, you know, like you take the good stuff from my culture, I'll take the good stuff from your culture.
And by good stuff, I mean a lot of fucking.
A couple of hot Klingon babes. But the episode takes a real turn for the Crimson Tide when the Klingons discover their own bacterial colony.
You ever watch Star Trek?
And it is, at this point, opened up a pretty sizable hole in their hull, depressurized a section, and, you know, they're like, this is fucked, especially
because...
It's weird
because, they even noticed with how the rest of their ship looks.
but they do notice, and they're pretty pissed off because they are looking at the records and they're like, wow, the Enterprise actually pointed a scanning beam right at this section of the ship for a extended period of time. Riker, do you happen to know what kind of scanning beam that was? And, you know, Riker's in a tough spot. He's got to soft pedal. You know, like that's a need to know basis type of thing. If the Federation had a way to scan a hull into decompiling, you know, he wouldn't want to admit that they do or don't, but he also...
And not only that, like, why would they do something intentionally to hurt the ship that Riker's gonna be on?
Right.
Like it doesn't make any sense from that perspective either.
I guess it doesn't, but the Klingons don't really think along those lines, you know?
No.
That's not the kind of calculus they're doing. And there's a real, like, a real dispute over where his loyalties lie. And he's like, I'm not going to go against any previous oath I've taken, but my loyalty is to this ship and its captain. And I will live up to that as insofar as it doesn't compromise any oath I've previously taken.
Kargon, the captain of the Pach, is like getting angrier and angrier and louder and louder. Did he sound familiar to you as he was doing that?
I'm gonna say yeah.
If he did, it's because he's Starscream from Transformers, the cartoon. That's no joke.
Cool.
Same
career
guy.
Bro.
Yeah.
I think the second officer is a guy that's like a repeat villain in the X-Files also.
He's the guy with the muscle face.
Yeah, that guy has a crazy face. Holy
great
mackerel.
Face. He's got a face that looks like, you know, those eagle's claw hand exerciser things that are like five springs?
Yeah.
That you just squeeze? Yeah. He looks like someone who has attached that to his face and is like doing smile frown exercises with that like hooked into it. His face is just full of muscles. It's crazy.
Yeah, like his upper lip could whoop Sylvester Stallone's ass in an arm wrestling contest.
Just lip versus arm wrestling?
Yeah.
Nice.
Fighting way above its weight.
I don't like Lincoln Hawk's chances in that particular fight.
So the Klingons cloak, and they're like, fuck the Enterprise. Like, they're also following us now because Picard has put them on an intercept course to try and warn the Klingons about this bacteria. And the Klingons are just wired to interpret that as a hostile action before, you know, since they haven't had any communications from the Enterprise. And there's a real moment where you think, like, maybe this Klingon ship is going to attempt to take the Enterprise out. And while it is a smaller ship and kind of outclassed by the Enterprise, if they take them by surprise, they might actually be able to do it. So, wouldn't you know it, the Starfleet transponder battery comes in handy. Riker pulls it out of his boot and just, like, sets it going. And the captain's like, give me that. What is that? And he takes it. And the Enterprise picks up on the signal and beams him right onto the bridge. So this big fat captain goes from his red lights and smoke rusted out ship to the bright lights of the Enterprise bridge deck, and is revealed to just be kind of a portly man in a dress. And he tries to draw his disruptor.
Yeah, his ship is very slimming on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he looks better in a certain light.
Yeah.
But he tries to shoot the captain, and Worf phasers him down. And
dude, say what you will about what an idiot Kargon is. Like, the guy really went for it. Like, yeah. Like, he's trying to... He's full-on ready to fight the Enterprise and die doing it. He gets beamed onto the Enterprise and then just starts shooting people while he's there.
Yeah, he's like...
Like, the guy's a total badass.
Yeah. He practices what he preaches.
So meanwhile on the Pock, like, Riker has Captain Phillips the Pock at this point. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm your captain now.
Yeah.
Like, respect me. And he gets into the big chair.
He decloaks the ship and demands the Enterprise surrender to them. And Picard is like, all right, nice one, Frakes. We surrender. Good on ya. And that's pretty much it. Like, they, you know, cleanse the hull of the bacteria. And for the most part, everybody's honor is more or less intact because, you know, nobody pulled any, like, weak sauce moves, which is, like, you know, a big deal with Klingons.
I guess there are a few things we don't get resolution on, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong. Like, we don't know whatever happens to Kargon. Like, was he killed on the bridge of the Enterprise? I don't think
no,
so.
No, he was just stunned.
Yeah. Whatever happens,
because remember
to...
he like beams back over and like mollywops,
yeah.
Riker when
oh, that's
he gets
right.
back onto the bridge.
That's right. So cut all that out. We don't get any resolution on the deep like G storyline, which is like Mendon, right?
Yeah.
Like he fucks up every relationship he makes on board the Enterprise, and then I guess he's gonna get exchanged back to where he came from, right? Because he sucks.
Presumably?
Hope so.
Or maybe just, like, moved off the bridge. I don't know.
Yeah, that guy was a waste.
Doesn't seem like he's learning enough lessons. I'll put it that way.
He looks like, whoever that actor is, looks like he's got the most uncomfortable makeup job of anyone we've seen. I don't know how you breathe in that thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed this, but he's got, like, a mock turtleneck under his uniform to, like, make the uniform neck come up a little higher on the makeup.
Yeah.
And you gotta think that that's just because, like, they didn't want to bring the latex all the way down to his chest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's got to be, like, going to the craft services table has got to be a real hassle in that makeup.
Yeah, your meals are just through a straw at that point.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Damok. Angelad at Tanagra. Damok Angelad at Tanagra.
As you were watching, did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
I don't think that I don't think I could pick anybody but Chaotic Bro 2, Electric Boogaloo. I think that...
Electric Brogaloo.
Excuse me. Too chaotic, too bro. That's cool, right? Where we just do the same jokes that we did earlier in the episode?
I don't think anyone's still listening.
Oh, that's a fair point. you know, just really Shimoda's around the whole damn episode, and I enjoyed watching it.
I thought for sure you were going to say that it could be no one else but Riker. Riker, to me, is maybe the most quintessentially Shimoda who isn't actually Jim Shimoda. Like, he is full on, like, he eats the Klingon buffet on his own ship. He's basically showing off how awesome he is and how gross he's willing to get culinarily. And then, basically, the first order of business when he goes to the Klingon ship is, like, initiating and accepting a three-way. And then he does the drunk thing where he, like, really bonds super fast with two strangers, which is, like, kind of so... That's like a drunk guy move at a party. Like, you get hammered and you...
You guys are amazing. We should hang out all the time.
Oh, you're so... My dad's like that too, man. Like, he basically does the seven stages of drunk Shimoda in one episode. I thought it was awesome. It was excellent Shimoda-ing by Riker.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job by him.
We can agree to disagree.
We often do. What is our next episode of the series that we're going to be watching?
Our next episode is, well, assuming no vetoes get invoked, our next episode is Season 2, Episode 9. Measure of a Man. When Data refuses to be disassembled for research purposes, Picard is enlisted to defend his rights in court.
How funny would it be if I vetoed this episode? This episode is one of the most famous episodes of the series. It's one of the most beloved. It's one of the most memorable. This is an episode that gets, like, used in law schools.
Totally.
It's fantastic. It's objectively great.
Yeah. Well, are you going to veto? Maybe I'll veto.
That would be so funny. What a fuck you that would be.
Here's the question. I mean, I guess I can't really know, but if I vetoed, would you override? Would you? Because we can use our vetoes against each other.
I don't think that we should tell each other that. I think that should be part of the risk.
We had a pretty interesting suggestion about, like, if one of us vetoes, the other has to watch it.
Yeah, I like that idea, too, because it sort of weaponizes the veto in a way that, like... Yeah,
kind of makes it more fun to use.
That's sort of like, I don't like this episode, and I don't care if you do. Go ahead and watch it. I don't care. Like, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's I veto the episode for myself.
Right. I just sort of wonder, like, how the subsequent episode goes, because, like... Is it one of us just doing, like, a book report on an episode of Star Trek we watched?
That would be so awkward. But it would be... I would be really curious to hear how that sounds. Like, you do your own drops, you do your own jokes, like...
Yeah.
It's okay, like a one-man morning drive DJ.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Do we change the rule a little? Like, it's a minor tweak to the rules? I mean, this is going to... There's nothing that's going to piss off the no to the veto movement more.
Look, no matter what, I'm in favor of keeping the vetoes. I think what we're talking about here is, like, what form they take.
Right.
If it involves either it solos the other person onto the show, or I think we also heard from... who proposed this idea? The other person hosts with a guest. Like, they...
Oh, that's interesting. Like, I didn't see that one.
I think that idea was from Adam Ragusea. Who proposed,
like, host of the Pub podcast, an excellent podcast about public radio,
friend of the show,
yeah.
Adam Ragusea, said that maybe it just means that the person vetoing bails, throws the keys of the show to the other host, and then they take on a special guest host. The reason I don't like that, Ben, is because what if you pick a guest host that people like better than me? I don't want that.
You could pick a guest host that people like better than me. That would not be hard.
I don't know. That would make me real sad. Everyone's all on Greatest Gen. That's like, oh God, Ben and uh, Ben and Chad are awesome. Ben and Chad forever.
Okay, let's throw this to the listeners. Should we A, move forward as we currently have it, B, move to a system where if one of us vetoes, the other has to watch it alone and then report back, or C, move to a system where if one of us vetoes, the other one has to watch it with a guest and then talk about it with a guest on an episode? And I should say for those second two, the veto nullification is still available. Like if
okay,
one of us...
Okay, so mutually assured vetoes means that nothing happens and you just watch the show as...
Right.
As before. Okay. That's what I was going to ask, is if mutually assured vetoes like does the same stuff. So, okay. Yeah. I think I would be interested in hearing what the response is to those three choices.
Yeah.
I think I could live with all of them.
I could live with all of them too. I think the two second options are interesting modifications to the system. So,
tell you what, let's run this vote on hashtag greatest gen.
Yeah.
People can respond with what they would prefer. And we will count them up after how long? You want to run this poll for like 2 weeks? Give people a long, like people who are sort of catching up and they sort of binge the show.
Oh, what if one of us wants to veto within that 2 weeks, though?
I don't know. I guess that's the risk we run.
I guess
we
want
to sit
risk.
In that chair.
So go to hashtag greatest gen. There'll probably be like a Twitter poll in play. You can follow Adam at Cut for Time, and you can follow me at Benjamin R, AHR.
Thanks for sticking around through that like 15 minutes of administrative bullshit. Like, that was awesome. That's just great pod right there.
Yeah.
We Thanks thank to Dark Materia for our opening and interstitial music.
And with that, we'll be back at you next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and also this. Bye.
Bye. What are the rituals you have in your life? For me, it's a coffee and a dog walk in the morning, a yoga or a Peloton ride after that, a scoop of fiber at night before bed, and at some point in the middle of the day, I take my ritual vitamins, a couple of Essential for Men, and a Symbiotic Plus for gut health. If I can do all those things, I'll feel like I'm doing a good job taking care of my body. Ritual is a science-backed multivitamin with 10 key ingredients. They are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Essential for Men is what I take, and it's a quality multivitamin from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scarves. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scarves for 25% off.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Now, if you're like me, you were born in the 80s, and THC was vilified by teachers and police officers and members of the clergy and politicians, and it really got ratcheted up to a fever pitch. So I think it is fair to have a little bit of trepidation around this kind of thing. But I think for a lot of people, a microdose of a cannabis product is actually a great thing. And if you are interested in seeing why it is so ridiculous that the world went so reefer mad for so long, I encourage you to give microdose gummies a try. So get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code SCARVES. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVES for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code SCARVES.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
MaximumFun.org.